Hey, thank you for calling back, Michael. Is everything all right?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. No, I hit a little raccoon in my car.
Oh, sorry to hear that. You good
Yeah,
now?
I think it's it's all right. Sorry. So, yeah, I was going to give you my email address. It's Michael, MICHAEL.
I think Clive has that, and I think he probably texted you to confirm the email address. But you could just give it to me right now as well. I'll just take it down. Like you said, Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael, and then letter C as in Charlie, and then Real, REALE, at gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Okay. All right, perfect. So is that the same as the one that you put on Bark?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'll just hand this over to Clive, and he's the one who's going to be sending an email with me in the CC. And how soon do you suggest we recircle from here after you've looked at the NDA and signed that back over?
Well, really, it's going to be obviously, this is going to be dependent upon the cost. You're not going to be associated with the development. So really, it's going to be a matter of more trying to get an idea. I think the best thing to do would be for me to give you something that's an example of an existing app that that we can
Definitely, yeah. I
use
mean, that's
as,
going to be helpful. If you have any kind of notes or anything that you put together, sorry.
right. And that would probably be the best, all that way we have at least a starting point. And what I was saying before about the app, there's quite a few apps in this area. In the anti-robocall area, but mine has a slightly different twist to it, which I think makes it unique. And so
I
that's
see.
why really it's a matter for me of how. And then the monetization is going to be relatively, the competing product out there is not cheap. I mean, it's cheap, but it's not cheap relative to apps. Most people expect to pay zero money for apps, and so I have a slightly, different monetization for it as well. So it's just for me, it's learning about this process. I've developed some software. I have some friends that are code writers and stuff, but they don't do the application as much. And so right now I'm just looking at getting different ideas or different rough budgets so that I get an idea of what my expectation cost would be. Once I have that, then I can develop the a timeline better. But it is something that I'd like to develop it relatively soon.
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said?
I said it is something that once I have an idea of cost, at least a rough budget, then that'll set the standard for me to give you the timeline as to when I would like to get it moving.
Okay, and so all right, so I mean, would be futile talking about the budget right now because as a matter of fact, with custom development, we'd have to go into the details of the features, and like you said, I mean that can only happen once we have the NDA in place. So
Right.
let's shoot for that first, and then unless you have any kind of budget constraints or any kind of limit a ceiling with the budget that you'd like for me to take a note of right now. Is there like a budget that you want to have me keep
I
in
am
mind?
I'm yeah, I'm completely unknowledgeable about hiring a third party, to develop an app. There's I have friends that have made successful apps with, relatively inexpensive app programs like, Apple AppyPie and things like that. But this is nothing like that. This is a little bit different. So this requires, a little more skill, obviously. And like I said, I can give you an example of an app that would give you the same type of feature sets, the same type of, it would be in the same industry. And then that's a good starting point. And then once we discuss what would make mine slightly unique, and I think it would be potentially more a better product, then that's where we can, go with the MD&A and all that other stuff. But I would like to see it so I can read it and go that far.
Okay, all right,
Make
that
sense?
works. So, can you give me the name of the application that we could look at to get an idea?
Oh, well, I mean, you can look them up yourself. I know they're, like I said, it's kind of like a hybrid app, primarily based on robo calls, you know, minimizing robocalls on cell phones and on devices. So you can look at RoboKiller, anything like that. I think RoboKiller is one of the top ones.
Oh yeah,
It's
okay.
got
So I've
features
seen
that I,
RoboKiller,
yeah.
so nothing specific, right?
What's that?
So nothing specific, right? I mean, I've already used RoboKiller myself, so there's not a specific application that you want me to look at, but so RoboKiller could be a good starting point, you're saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, so if you've downloaded the app yourself, then you know that it's not 100%. It's supposedly pretty good. You know, it's got good reviews. It's been around for a while. I think they charge a three, I think it's like $3 a month or $2.99 a month,
Yeah.
and it comes out to be $30 or something dollars a year. They have lots of downloads, so obviously they've done something right. There's a couple of things with RoboKiller that, you know, like the whole, you know, having them call back and then, you know, make fun of them and all that kind of stuff. That's fun and that's cool. I think it's irrelevant. I think the one key feature that I'm looking at developing into that type of application space would make it quite literally 100%, you know, instead of, you know, 90% or 85%. But the app still would need the same similar the similar technology where they're tapping into an existing database of known numbers so that it would
Yeah, so
zap
that's
those known
exactly what I was
numbers.
about to. Sorry?
No, you were saying.
May I just want to, yeah, I just wanted to say that I was about to, you know, talk about the database as a prerequisite to building something like this. And, you know, I know for a fact that there are databases available that you can integrate to your system and, you know, kind of build a software on top of that. Does
Right.
that come with, sorry?
Does that come with what?
Does that come with a, you know, does that come with a lot of accuracy or not? That's a question. And then, you know, so there's essentially two
Well,
ways to go about that part, right? One is that way you have your own database that you can leverage, or you could use, you know, a mix of third-party, you know, anti-spamming databases that are available, and you could integrate them to your system. So do you have any names of databases that you may have researched, or is that something that you'd like for us to go ahead and research for you?
yeah, that would be probably something that you guys have more skill sets on instead of me kind of like going through the Googles, you know. I think it'd be better for us to once we get to that point to
Yeah, of
create
course.
the
I mean, just wanted to make sure,
yeah.
you know, you don't have any kind of specific preferences for us.
Right. No, and then the other thing too, you're saying that it's not the amount of accuracy. So the features that I'm looking at doing with my app make the inaccuracy of those apps irrelevant. The reason I would like to integrate the third party, I'm sorry, the database. The reason I want to integrate those databases is because it's a good starting point immediately so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel per se, you know, recapture an already existing thief. So we want to be able to just immediately recognize those numbers. But some of the feature sets that are in the app that I'm trying to do, it's a little bit more involved in terms of the process. It's not just the database, because most of these apps, I mean, you know, I have a T-Mobile, which used to be Sprint, so it'll say scam likely. You know, it'll capture some known numbers. They use that same database, and or if they have their own. So we want to be able to at least have that, so we have a large pool of phone numbers that we know that are part of that, you know, spoofing and all that other stuff.
Right.
But the ones that get through, the slightly different algorithm that I want to do would be caught, in a sense, because it's almost foolproof. It's really a stupidly easy thing, and that's why I wanted to make sure that we have, you know, some kind of you know, non-disclosure sign, because it's really quite straightforward, and it's just surprising that no one's done it before. So, but it would basically make the app. For people that want super privacy, like people that they're not
Right.
expected, you know, they're not business people, they just don't want to get spammed. You know, they have their 105 people in their contact, you know, database. It's something that could just basically give them 100% guarantee that it's not going to, you know, that they're not going to get any of these calls. And then how we dispose of those calls after they're detected, and if there's new ones that are found, if they have a new number that comes through, it kind of eradicates all of that. So,
Okay, well, interesting.
yeah. So I actually have a mind flow chart, kind of like the thinking process of how the app would work.
Right.
And I would share that once we go to, like I said, it's pretty straightforward. Whether it's going to be wildly successful or not, I'm not sure. I mean, I had an idea and I got to kind of run with it. If I think it's a good idea, I can't, you know, not do something, right? So, but again, it's going to be dependent upon the cost and, you know, for the development cost. So
Right, I
I
mean,
can't. No, go ahead.
No, yeah, I just wanted to say that I don't want to jump any kind of guns on you as far as the pricing is concerned. I mean, like I said, I mean,
No,
we've
I
just
understand.
started.
No, I'm with you. I understand. I'm not trying to get any numbers from you right now. It's premature. But I'm just saying that dependent upon what the cost comes in at, whether or not it's worth the risk for me to go ahead through the process of developing and testing and then launching an app and then you know, having that
I
app
understand
perform
that.
enough
Yeah.
to be able to pay that, you know, to pay back at least, right? So but I think it's a good idea. And then you guys actually, you know, we might talk about it and you might come up with some idea, you know, you might come up with some reason why it's not a good idea. And then that'll just shut me up. Who knows? You know, but at the same time, I think I just want to get the idea out there, out into the universe and see if it is an interest, if there is interest from the people. Because like I said, if it does work, then it works pretty well. You know, I think robocalls is still a pestilence that I mean, I get them all the time. I get at least anywhere between 5 to 10 a day. And it becomes annoying. Even when I get the calls that says scam likely, you know, that it shows up on my phone, it still interrupts my day. I was in a business meeting today and the phone rang and my app would eradicate that 100%. So it's a slightly different way of thinking about it, in just, you know, slightly different way. So, and I did do some research, you know, as much as I could online, and I looked at a lot of different, you know, competing apps, and they're all kind of the same. They all use a database. They all just have different interfaces. You know, they have different, you know, control criteria, but none of them really takes it to that point where it literally, if you want it to be completely incognito to the world, except for the people that you care about, I don't see any apps that do that. You know, and you know, if I don't want to
Yeah,
accept any
there's a bit
calls from
of
anybody.
a. Sorry.
No, you're saying.
I just wanted to add here that there may be a bit of a caveat with something like that because, you know, at the end of the day, how many such private people exist versus the larger market, right? But then again, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud, and I don't exactly know what the idea entails, and I'm not trying to
Oh,
probe you
no.
as well because I know we need to get the NDA in place. But you know what, we'd have to. I think I'm eager to dive into this and be able to see what this looks like and whether it is an idea that, per my experience and my opinion, could make much of a difference in an industry like this, especially something that's not really niche, right? I mean, it doesn't pay off a few thousand dollars per user per year on an annual basis, right? So then again, I mean, it comes down to the cost of development. I understand that, and then more importantly, it also comes down to what kind of revenue potential you have with something like this, so you can recover the cost and also be able to sustain a platform like this. I think in the future, you might just be looking to flip this over to a larger enterprise that may need a turnkey solution. For example, VPN solutions get sold every other day, right? I was just reading about PureVPN got sold out to Samsung, and we work with PureVPN, right? And now they just flipped over. So this looks like a product that, you know, unless it's highly niche, if it's highly niche, then it has to pay you so well per customer and the LTV of the customer, the lifetime value should be so much that you can, you know, actually be able to sustain this on a revenue versus cost perspective, right? But otherwise, I mean, if it has to be something that, you know, most people would be interested in using and, you know, it really has a market or would apply to the larger market, the market at large, then I think it would at best be a flippable product that you can build, get enough users onboarded, and then at a time when it starts to gain some traction with the larger enterprises in the mobility sector and the telecommunication sector, that's when you can go ahead and you can flip this. And, you know, that's the kind of direction I see with this. But then again, I mean, it's just hearsay and it's just, you know, off the top of my head right now.
Yeah. I mean, it is the latter of your analogy there. It is going to be a more global expanse. Just as a background, a little bit of a background for me. So I'm a producer. I produce like TV shows. Well, not TV shows. I do feature films. A lot of independent films. I also produce. I have a production company. So right now, you know, the way that things are marketed nowadays is basically through funnels. You know, sales funnels, social media, funny ads. You know, that go viral. So we have because of the nature of the beast that I'm trying to tame, kill, there can be potentially, it's a very potentially, but there could be that type of a ad campaign that has some videos that are funny, you know, that are maybe funny enough to actually go viral just on their own, which
Right.
then creates, you know, creates a presence about the product and the cost of the product. You know, the cost per for the users is going to be nominal. You know, there's as you know, there's a lot of different ways to recuperate or to create revenue to monetize these things, and some of them are value add. You know, some of them are you know one-time fees or recurring monthly charges, kind of like RoboKiller, things like that.
Yeah, many different
So
avenues for monetization, sorry.
yeah. So what the things that some of the things that we would do to help the product should we develop it would be something that would be more under my control financially. And you know, so instead of spending, you know, hundreds of thousands and, you know, whatever on massive campaigns, a lot of that cost can be mitigated because I can produce a lot of that myself. So again, I believe it would be a useful ad. I know that if this ad existed, I would buy it. Because I, you know, I'm a business guy. I do receive a lot of calls, you know, in business, but I also receive a heck of a lot of spam. And, you know, when I'm in the middle of doing something, in the middle of a movie theater, in the middle of a business meeting, and even if my phone, if I forget to put my phone off on vibrate or whatever, even if I put it on vibrate, it vibrates on the table, it lights up the screen. And
That's a distraction, yeah.
yeah, just that little bit makes it a distraction. I will be downloading RoboKiller just to play with it. I looked into it, and it just seems like it's a common platform. They just happen to have that the you know the comedy part, you know, where they can you know go back and waste their time, you know, and then they publish it or yeah. I don't know if you've ever used that feature yourself when you had RoboKiller.
I now that you say it, I think I feel like I've been a victim to it a couple of times. I'll be honest with you, and that's just because you know at some point in time in the past we had a couple lines that went bad or something, the office phone line, and you know I had some funny voicemails that I had to go through, and so yeah, I think that probably is what RoboKiller does. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, so I, as far as their efficacy on how well they perform, you know, if you line them all up, I think RoboKiller, what makes them different is just that feature where it's funny, and then you can listen to the, you know, the conversations, and you can record it and play it back and have a giggle, have a laugh, you know, which is fine, but which is actually, you know, good. They're doing it, like I said, I think they have many millions of downloads, you know, throughout the time. And however, if you go online and you look at their reviews, and they've got pretty decent reviews, but if you look at the reviews, they're like, yeah, but they still get through. Yeah, but it's still kind of annoying, you know, and so it's not 100%. So I think with mine, and what, as I was referring to originally, referring to those people who want to be kind of like in the dark and incognito, that was just an extreme example of what this app could do. RoboKiller wouldn't be able to do that. So, you know, you see what I'm saying? Because it's still just acting as an app, a passive app that's receiving and controlling incoming calls. It's, you know, basically, it, you know, the call rings, the app looks at, I would imagine, you know, in the direction, the logical direction of flow. I imagine that it's going to look at it, see if it's got a caller ID. If it doesn't meet a known caller ID, then it probably goes to an internal database, you know, on the phone contact list, and then it follows this line, right? And then based on how you want it to act, in your, you know, when you're setting up the system, it can do this or it can do that. But there's one feature that's missing, because if a spammer is calling on a different line, they're using a new number, that's not on the database, because those database numbers are constantly changing, right?
Yeah.
You know, then it'll still get through. Whereas with my idea, it really, again, it's so simple. It's like a gate, and it can't get through. So anyway, let me review the NDNA. What's that?
I said, give me a couple hints. You know, I don't want to probe you much, or, you know, throw my questions at you. But is that something to do with the? Are you someone who's familiar with how telecommunications work, or how cellular services work? Is that something pulled off from that, or is it something about the application itself and how it doesn't let the phone, you know, cause any kind of distraction by becoming the primary application?
Yeah, so when I was talking about the primary application, what I was saying is that in order for this to work, I imagine that when you download RoboKiller, it becomes your primary contact. It's going to have access to your contacts. It's going to have access to your phone, right, to be able to mitigate basically interfere with an incoming call so that it can do its process. That's what I was referring to. I am not super familiar with the phone protocol. What's that?
I said that's not really complicated, just so you know.
That's complicated?
That's not too complicated. It's
actually Sure. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it, because like I said, when I was many years younger, I was a computer guy, and I was doing, you know, very old school programming, and it's a lot different now, of course. But my app really just doesn't seem that complicated. It seems very, very, I mean, simple almost. It's just that no one's using it. It's an extra step, and in that flowchart, you know, but it really, I think it could stop things at the very least. At the very least, it would be an introduction to yet another robo-call killer app, you know, that would, even if it gains a slight market share of this overall, you know, market, you know, depending on how we monetize it. I mean, you're still talking about, you know, tens of thousands. I mean, I don't know of any apps that exist on the Play Store or on the, you know, the Apple version that doesn't have tens of thousands of downloads. There's very few. So it all depends on the cost.
How many downloads did you say?
What's that?
How many downloads did you say? What was the very last thing you said?
No. What I said is, like, all of these apps, all of the primary apps that are out there for this app and that app, you know, the different types of apps, they tend to have lots of downloads. And a lot of them are free apps.
Yeah. I'll tell you the
Yeah, go
reason
ahead.
why. I mean, all of these applications, this category or this genre of applications, it actually comes under utility applications, right? Simple tools
Correct.
that make your life easier. And this is the most popular category of applications on both the Android and the iOS. And that's exactly why you
Right.
see the most number of downloads going to the utility tool-like applications.
Right. So, because again, it's a nuisance item, and people are willing to, pay directly or indirectly. In your case, you bought RoboKiller, and so you pay directly, or you could pay indirectly by just upgraded features. I still haven't thought that far through with it yet. I'm still in my preliminary stage. But again, I think that there's enough need in the marketplace for this to still be a viable idea. It's just it's a matter of taking the research farther and talking to some people like you that know, because like I said, I'm nothing near a professional in this manner. It's just I have an idea. I do have a technological background, so I'm not just some lady off the street with an idea, but I also know that I don't know enough much with this unless I incorporate the assistance of someone or a team that can actually, help turn this into a viable product. And that's where you guys would come in.
Yeah, no, I
So
could hear from your conversation that you have some sort of technology background, and I was about to ask you about it. But anyway, so about the application, there's one thing that I can tell you. These applications, like I said, I mean they are relatively easier to attract the download count to, and then these apps are usually flippable in nature. I'll go into more detail of that, once we speak about it and, the next time we speak over it.
You're talking about like as far as an exit strategy.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's no point
Okay.
building like an enterprise out of it, right? It's a flippable product, and there is a lot of demand for products like these with the larger complementing enterprises. For example, like I said, mobility and telecommunication, cellular services, they look for or they hunt for successful products like these that have gained some traction. The example that I gave you, PureVPN, I've seen that growing myself. I mean, my company was on the team of the marketeers that they had hired, right? That PureVPN's parent company. And I know for a fact that, it's a lot more easier in terms of the dollar per download that you have to spend, and then it's a lot more easier in terms of the strategy to gain downloads in an application like this, and make this relatively successful, get some traction to it, and then from there, I just see a lot of these getting sold out to the larger enterprises. So I just wanted to add that to your equation, so you could probably think into that direction as well, and then again, this is going to solve the financial puzzle pieces for you as well. I mean, you were just mentioning that, you'd look at the cost versus whether you can recover or recoup your investment or not. So I just wanted to add that in there as well, that, it's always, it's easier to make revenue out of these applications because it's easier to get downloads on it, and then it's easier to flip this in the future as well because there's always a demand for something like this in the larger, the more mature market sector in mobility.
And how does that, so how do companies like you, programmers, I know, for example, I made a product many, many years ago that was that we trademarked it and stuff, and I was able to give it was like an equity share for the people to help develop the product. And of course, that's always an option. So typically, when you have one of these more non-enterprising but potentially profitable type of apps, are they strictly like do you guys normally work? Is it an hourly, not hourly, but is like a program rate? Like if I were to hire, somebody to web design for me, or is it a different structure? Like, what do you typically do?
Right, so
Or is it based on each project?
we strictly work for hire, so we don't involve ourselves into partnerships or any kind of equity stake with our clients. We strictly work for
Gotcha.
hire, and work for hire is a legal jargon that just means that, you commission the work, we do it for you, we assign resources that are required to accomplish this, and then at the end of the day, everything 100% from an intellectual property standpoint as well as the equity standpoint would belong to you. My recommendation to you, so just since you mentioned about this, and this is one way you could potentially go, I would rather recommend you don't do that, right? And why I'm saying this is because right now, when you start with this product, you're gonna give out your equity for a lot less than what it could potentially be sometime in the future. So say if something like this, and I'm just giving you an example just for the sake of a number, if something like this could cost you about, say, $40,000, right? And again, this is just an example, just a number, right? Now, this $40,000, another company, a company like us, if we were to take an equity in this and be your partners with you, we could probably say we'd take up 25% of the development cost, right? Now, in return for that, if you're giving up, because right now it's all on the paper, right? It's not making money. It may have a lot of potential, but then it's not a running horse right now. It's just it's a horse in the stable right now, right? So it's not going to give you, it's just going to bleed your equity at a premature stage, and that's just going to be a lot more costlier than what you could give out the equity for in the future. When you've got this as a prototype, you've done a successful, at least a pilot launch, and then you have at least a few thousand, even a couple thousand downloads and proven test case that this actually works. And at that time, I think the equity is going to be worth a lot more than what it would be right now for a development partner or even a marketing partner for that sake.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, okay. Well, you've been very helpful, and I've learned a lot, and I definitely would like to continue the conversation.
I'm glad to hear
If
that.
you guys want, if you guys send me some information, like I said, send me the NDA. I'm assuming you guys have a pre-made type of NDA for this purpose. And
Yeah,
because I have NDAs. Yeah. No, go ahead.
it's just pre-drafted. We just need to change out a few details on there and kind of personalize this to you, and we'd be able to send this over to you probably before we go to sleep.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is, like I said, you got my email, right?
I do.
Yeah. So just send me if you have any other questions or anything that you need from me, just feel free to contact me. Email is great because I always check my email, that email all the time. Phone numbers, it's kind of hit and miss because I get so many calls, specifically spam calls, that I don't really pick up any calls that I don't remember. And sometimes, I may have called you and remembered your number, and then a day or two later, I forgot it, and so I didn't pick it up. So, and again, my app would fix that problem. So,
There you go. Yeah, it would be an irony for me
there
to
you
call you every other day. So,
go. Yeah.
it's good
Yeah.
advice.
So, right. So, okay, that's fine. So I'll expect, I guess, an email from you guys, and then we can communicate from there, right? And then that way I can take a look at the NDA, and then once we get going, we can start talking about it, and then you can give me a better idea of what the developmental costs are going to be, as I have it designed, in my mind, at least.
Right, and no deadlines as such, right?
And know what?
No deadlines to launch this and get this out to the market as such, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really. It's an opportunity, and this is something that I need to, again, if this was like, if I was Jeff Bezos, starting, selling books online, he knew there was a demand that hadn't been met, and no one's, but he was on a timeline because he knew that somebody would eventually meet it.
I think right now, you know, I have to think as a scientific-minded guy, you know, I have to think that the simplicity of my idea either has just eluded everybody, or it's not a good idea. So, you know, so I have to weigh that cost, and I have to do a lot of soul searching to see if I want to invest, you know, like you said, that $40,000 or however many dollars to an idea that is going to be a cool bragging right. Hey, you see that app? I built it, but then it's got, you know, 5 downloads. So that's not a direction that I want to go either. So that's where I'm having. Yeah.
So more like challenging market is your you know, is of essence there. Of, you know, in sophisticated jargon, you could say TTM, right? The time to market matrix of this is important. But otherwise, you don't have any kind of personal deadlines to this, right? You don't want to live off of, you know, leave your production and live off of this application, right?
Yeah, no. I'm a real estate guy, and I also own businesses. So I'm an entrepreneur. I have different industries. I'm looking at what started this was actually I'm looking to develop a very, very basic app for one of my bars in one of my restaurants. So it's nothing really all that crazy. It's not new, not novel. And it's actually, to be quite frank, it's something that's probably very easily developed on you know, Appy Pi. Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah, it's very simple, very basic. However, as I was going through that process, I started rekindling my memories and my thoughts of my app that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what prompted me to get to the point of actually reaching out to Bark, and that's how I got to you guys. So it's just kind of like it just stimulated my initial desire to create that app, you know, something a little bit more. Because you never know. I mean, again, either my idea just doesn't sound, and that's why no one's done it, because maybe they've done some focus groups and the people didn't like it, you know, or they just didn't think of it that way. They a lot of, you know, they just get tunnel vision, and everything has to do with databases. And either we're going to use an existing database, or we're going to create our own database, and then RoboKiller, I think, is one of the first ones that said, hey, why don't we make fun, and, you know, why don't we throw it back to them and occupy all of their time? And, you know, that's the sales pitch that they were making as to why that would be a good idea, right, for them. Because, you know, you can, you know, the more time that you're occupying on their end, the less time that they have to screw with someone else. Makes sense, but I don't know, you know, I don't know how useful that is. You know, like how much it's been used. You know, how many people actually, you know, listen to those recordings, and you know, and how much value it has, because it's fun, but it doesn't change the fact that their app, you know, has limitations. It's just fun. So for me, you know, I went online. You know, looked at some YouTube people, some influencers that were talking about, you know, these different types of apps, you know, RoboKilling apps, and then they were talking about, you know, I don't use that app, I don't use that feature, it's not important to me, it's just kind of a waste of time. Mm-hmm. I just want something that works better. And so for me, you know, having something like what I think would work better, at least in my unexperienced, you know, mind, then, you know, I would have to take it to the next level to find out if it actually is a good idea or if it's just a really crappy idea, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you sound really positive about this this whole concept. And, you know, the next time we speak about it and would be under the confidentiality of the NDA, I feel free to rebuke the idea for you and, you know, kind of lay that flat on the ground for you if it's nothing. And I'll let you know that up front. Mm-hmm. But if it is something, then, you know, apart from the business aspect of it, I think there's some things in life we should do just to, you know, for the sake of it. And, you know, since you're so, you know, you're so positive about it and you think it's going to work, you know, let's try and see what's the absolute minimum of, you know, in terms of resources we could do to get this out to the market and test some waters. And if nothing else, I think you'll have a solid product in itself, and that itself opens a lot of doors. And I don't see it falling flat at like 5 or 10 downloads in the app stores, because like I said, I mean, in this category, even the most stupid applications in the utility category on the app stores get a few hundred thousand or at least a few thousand downloads. And it's just a matter of people downloading the application, and if they don't like it, they wouldn't take more than 5 seconds to drop that application off their phone, right? And if you can survive that, your idea is good enough to survive that first instance, then I think in this category especially, you wouldn't really have to worry about falling flat on less than 10 downloads or less than 100 downloads for that matter.
Well, I was being somewhat facetious, but yeah, that is of course the fear. Is a lot of these apps that most of the apps that get downloads, a lot of times they start off being free, and then what they do is they monetize it through either advertising, widgets, and stuff like that, or they monetize it eventually, with paid upgrades, features, right? So you upgrade features, and you pay a little bit more, or you pay something for the upgraded feature. Half
The
of my
formula
apps
is
on my
what we
phone
recommend
are
in
free.
this area. Sorry?
What's that?
I
Yeah,
said
so half
the
of the
formula
half.
of the two strategies is what we recommend for apps that are made for the mass market.
And so you're saying that what I was saying is what you recommend for more mass market type of apps?
Yeah, I mean, we recommend you go out with a free product, absolutely free. If you have to make the money from the first day, this could be advertisements and maybe simpler integrations like Google AdMob or something. You shouldn't launch a paid tier unless you have about 1,000 downloads to your application. Until you have about 1,000 downloads to your application.
Okay, so you're just saying absolutely free, just for a few downloads, like a few thousand downloads.
Exactly, yeah. And that's more like a pilot launch you do with just the absolutely free application. And then granted that something like this is always built on, it's going to be built on 100% open source technology and would be 100% scalable as well. You can always build in those features as soon as you've covered a couple thousand downloads with simple social media marketing that you're more than familiar with yourself, or some organic marketing on the app stores, including app store optimization. So once you've got that number achieved in terms of downloads, that's when you can go ahead and launch in-app purchases, or you can even launch like a $2 download fee plus $2 per month. So many different combinations of monetization. But with something like this, we always recommend as a rule of thumb that you go out free. That's called a pilot launch. Make about a couple thousand downloads, and then you can start making money out of it from more than one avenues, including advertisement. If you want to use a free application, you could always upgrade it, and amongst other things, you get an ad-free experience. All of those pretty standard things that are already there could be used to monetize the application.
Okay, yeah, and okay, that makes sense. So I didn't, I mean, I didn't, I figured that there was a proper process to launch these things, and that makes a lot of sense just to start getting. It's like a YouTube channel. I've also got some YouTube channels that I'm working on, and I've learned how to get to 1,000 subscribers pretty quick, and that was like the first big milestone. And so now I'm in the process of, scaling that up to a different level, which is a different process. So I guess
Yeah, there you go.
it seems like it's kind of like the same, it's like the same, similar, where you just got to get that attention, get those downloads, get that credibility, so that you can say, hey, this many people like it, and all that kind of stuff, and then you can, I guess, go from there.
And then
So
it's a
and that's
bit
kind of
about the
what I had.
export algorithm as well. I mean, since you're familiar with websites and website designing, you must be familiar with search engine app
Optimization,
stores. Well, there is a bit of an algorithm, right? So the applications that fall flat with, say, less than 5 downloads or less than 100 downloads, the biggest problem with that is that they don't have a launch strategy in place and they don't know how to get a few thousand subscribers or downloads on board before they start to make money, right? And that's exactly why they stay at under 100 downloads and they never take off, right? So that's something we're pretty, you know, we know how to, you know, counter that, and, you know, we could put, you know, more like a launch strategy for you in place as well. In fact, the first couple hundred downloads, we could get you that from our own a database of, you know, we have a focal group, and then we have some beta testers from within the community that have, that have signed up for, you know, beta testing with us for all the new applications we launch from you know, our past customers and, you know, people that know about our services. So, you know, that kind of leverage, we can get you that and, you know, get you a bit of a push, a bit of a mileage. And then from there, if something like an application like this, it wouldn't be too hard. I mean, I'm not saying you're going to get like a million downloads in a month or so. I'm just saying that the first takeoff is, you know, as long as it's well executed and has a plan in place, it's not rocket science. It's not going to be too much of a, you know, complexity.
Yeah, so an app like this in this category, utility category, is this it sounds like you have confidence that you've done it in the past. So it sounds like you have a pretty good metrics to go by in terms of the expectation. So because again, you know, I don't know at all about this process because I've never done it. I can only surmise it from just kind of being in a similar industry. I understand, you know, how it could be. So that's why, you know, having a discussion with you and your team and figuring it out. Now, you said you had a focus group or beta group. So you have people that you run this by? Is it like a database of people that participate in it, or is it just like your inner office type of staff that would test it?
No. People, you know, outside the office and within, you know, our past clients and people that know about our services at some point got acquainted with us. And, you know, we have this procedure with signing up people as beta testers or people who review the applications before we launch them on the app store. So actually the latter of what you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the former of what you mentioned, not just the employees, but people all over the USA and from different states that have, you know, at some point in time in the past, they've gotten acquainted to us.
Gotcha. And so would this be done, typically, would you recommend that this be done before you do a larger campaign just to kind of like, you know, get the bugs out and make sure you get feedback? Is it kind of like a focus group type of a launch? Or is this something that, you know, that you would do in concert with a larger marketing campaign?
There's two things there. So in terms of development, we always recommend you go with an incremental development approach, right? And in commercial language, we call that an MVP, which is the minimum viable product, right? And where you build all the core features that are required to absolutely necessary to run a certain operation on the application or on the platform, and then use that to test some waters and then go about adding the bells and whistles to the platform, right? But I think in your case, the idea wouldn't be a few different moving parts, right? It's going to be one core operation anyway. And if there's something that we could cut down or that's something that you feel could be deferred off for later, that's what we recommend you do in terms of development, right? Saving the time, saving the money, saving the effort, and launching with the lowest resources possible. But it has to be a full application that can go live on the app stores, that can be sitting on the Google Play Store and Apple App Store. So, yes, it's going to be a full application, just that the features are going to be kind of pulled back, and therefore just the core features. In terms of marketing, yes, it's going to save you if you were to invest, a few tens of thousands of dollars into its marketing, which it doesn't sound like is your plan. I mean, you want to take it at your own pace. That's when we recommend that you first do like a pilot launch, have it tested out with a few hundred users, have their feedback, and that's going to help with a lot with the reiterative development, as we call it, making changes for the user's feedback, and then also kind of giving yourself some organic mileage in terms of marketing before you start spending, you know, the hard dollar on marketing, right? So with marketing, I think in your case, you're looking to do it more yourself and running Facebook ads and running social media ads, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, so social media is not, unless you do it on a large, you know, scale, like a formal scale, it tends to be regional. It tends to be within your group, within your friends, within their friends. And then hopefully if it's something that goes quote-unquote viral, like a funny video, right, like Dr. Squatch soap, right, that's a funny video, or Poopery is a funny video, or Purple, you know, those are all funny videos where Dollar Shave Club, the first one that created that type of program, right? They were the first to create the viral video, you know, for a product. You know, when these companies do their, you know, they create a product, they typically have traction prior to doing their big video launch. You know, they're already making $1 million or $2 million or whatever, you know, because they already have their, you know, either crowdsourcing that they use, or, you know, whatever it is, or they have their own website and they're selling. But then when they do their viral marketing, it 10x's, right? It goes from $1 million to, you know, 100 million, 100x. So for me, not that I would say that I'm going to count on, you know, put all of my eggs in the basket of going viral, but for me, I think we could make this into a funny video that could possibly, you know, get traction on social media as far as, you know, going viral. And then, of course, that creates a desire for people to actually investigate the actual product, you know, Dr. Squatch, Winter Soap, or, you know, all these different products that have these viral videos, and they all, I mean, they all scale, all of them scale. So with an app, you're not buying a physical product, you know, it's all in the digital domain, which, you know, in my life I've always been brick and mortar. Everything I've done in my life has been, you know, either real estate properties, or it's been, you know, a production company that has millions of dollars of assets that I had to buy over time. You know, I mean, it's always a very high overhead expense. With digital products like this, you know, it's different. It's different. I mean, you know, I don't have inventory. It's downloaded.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful
thing. I was just about to say this, by the way. I mean, and you're not an enterprise doing this, right? And, you know, while enterprise has the economies of scale and whatnot, they do have the larger disadvantage that they already have costs that they need to cover, right? In your case, you don't need to commit to a certain $1,000 a month over marketing, otherwise you wouldn't be able to break even, right? Because there is an initial cost, of course, there is a cost of development, but there's no operational cost as such that you need to cover from the first month going forward. And that's exactly why, that's one reason why I recommended we start out free and then gain some mileage and then, you know, use social ads and stuff like that. So all I'm trying to say is that, you know, with marketing, I think you could take it at your own pace, honestly, and, you know, do some viral marketing, see if something clicks. But otherwise, even if you can, you know, simply create ad sets on Facebook and run social media ads for, say, even, you know, say $30 a day, $50 a day, I think even that's going to work. I mean, it's not like you have to put together a whole, you know, out-of-home marketing and stuff like that to be able to get something like this going, honestly.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, having an app that costs, like, let's say $2 a year, you know, and then just hopefully you renew it every year, you know, you get 20,000 downloads, 40,000 downloads, you just paid for everything, right? So now you're just going to hopefully keep getting downloads. If it doesn't get traction, like from a viral position, you have to keep putting a little bit of money into it. But it's, you know, but if you do get a more response when it comes to, like, the marketing, you know, with the videos and stuff, then it can, you know, then it can scale quick. You know, and for me, I just want one little, you know, one home run, even if it's a small home run, you know, on a baby field. Yeah, because then it'll inspire me to go to the next and do the next and do the next. And the digital domain is really the domain where I'm trying to plant myself in right now because of that efficiency of scale. Yeah, I mean it's like, you know, and so that's, you know, I missed, you know, I had opportunities. I actually literally had opportunities to you know, one of the biggest frustrations in my life is the guy that created Ring, you know, basically home automated and stuff like that. My friend was my programmer buddy 20 years ago. I was like, man, you know, home automation, that's where it's at. You know, one day you're going to walk into a house, talk to the house, and tell it to do things. Yeah. I'm like, who in the hell is ever going to do that? Right? And that was my billion-dollar moment that I lost. And everything that he said... You know, so it was a little bit frustrating. You know, I mean, I have a relatively successful career in what I do. It's just it's just not one of those, you know, big, you know, those lottery type of businesses that you create. You know, like the, you know, like the guy that created Ring. I mean, yeah, he sold it for what, a couple billion dollars or something like that. So,
you know, that's exactly why, you know, a few moments ago I said that, you know, sometimes in life you have to do things just for the sake of it, right? And that's exactly what I meant. I mean, you never know what opportunity is going to be your next, right? And, you know, everyone, you know, at my age and yours, I think we sound like we are pretty much in the same age bracket. How old are you, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
Turning 56 this month.
56?
Mm-hmm.
No shit. Okay, I thought you were in your 30s. I mean, you sound a lot younger than, you know.
No, and I look even younger. Yeah, I get it. I have good genes, and I do work out, and so I'm a personal trainer, so I'm pretty fit. So people don't think I'm more than 35. But but yeah. So, anyway, so and just so you know, I have a very successful business entrepreneur in my family. My wife's family, actually, you can look him up. His name is Ben Rubenstein. He's actually my wife's cousin. He created two companies. The first one was called Yodel, and he sold that for 20-something million dollars, and then he took that one, created OpCity, and sold that one to Realtor.com for, I think it was $200 million.
And so, how do you spell that?
Rubenstein, R-U-B-E-N, S-T, yeah. Ben Rubenstein. So he was actually the ring bearer at my wedding with my wife. He's like in his 30s. So he was the one that gave us the rings, you know, and it got me thinking, you know, this kid was, you know, he had a vision and you know, when we have our family meetings, he told me the story that, you know, it took 51 or 52 meetings with venture capitalists until one said yes. And then after 52 no's or 51 no's, I forgot the number, he finally got the yes, got some funding, and boom, you know, a few years later, he's one of the chosen, God's chosen, right? He's got that Midas touch, and he created and sold it within just a few years. And he worked hard, of course, but he sold it after, I think, five years or 6 years, sold it, you know, for however many millions. And then when he sold it, he had a lay low for a year or two, and then he created another company. In fact, I was at his wedding when he launched his company, OpCity. So he was saying, hey guys, me and my buddies, we're launching this company, OpCity, please come and help us support it. It has to do with they were both real estate related businesses. And he was smart because he created enterprises, like you said, that were tantalizing to a bigger industry, like enterprise. So, you know, and that's why.
I'm looking at Set One right now. Is that the same person? Say it's Ben Rubenstein, co-founder.
Yeah,
OpCity. There you go.
Yep. Yodel and OpCity. Yeah. So he's, if I show you a picture of my wedding, you'll see him handing me the rings. So he was able to do obviously far beyond, I'm not worth any, I'm nothing even close to that, right? So he was able to in just literally just about a decade, a little over a decade, create and sell two companies. I've created some companies, sold them for, you know, millions, but, you know, it wasn't like that. It wasn't that much of a windfall. So for me, I'm like, damn, you know, here I am. I'm in my 50s, trying to figure out what I want to do when I grow up. And I've already missed, you know, I've kind of missed the boat when it went to tech. You know, I was old enough to be part of the 90s revolution with the internet boom, with when you just put .com behind something and you would have millions of dollars of investment capital. I also saw the dot bomb. I also saw the dot bomb. I witnessed it myself. You know, I was there. I was there in 19. I was seven. I was 18 years old in 1987. Sorry, I was 19 years old in 1987 when you know Black Friday happened. You know, I was there and I was working in a store and so I've seen all of these revolutions come and then pass me by, and I'm like, shit, you know what? I got to try something. And so right now in real estate, there's something really big happening with the National Associations of Realtors. You know, there's a lot of big things that are changing. And so I'm putting my hat there. I'm gonna try to make something out of that. But it would sure be nice. It would be nice for me to have a little bit of revenue to be able to catapult that idea, because that would be a very, very expensive, very large enterprise, which would actually require an app as well. You're familiar with Zillow?
Zillow, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So something like Zillow, which is a database that pulls off of the MLS and other listing services. So I'm gonna need to create an app like that as well. But that's going to be a little bit more elaborate, because that is, like you said, an enterprise type of application.
Right. What did you need for your restaurant, by the way? I mean, you mentioned something of a, you know, I thought you said you needed an application for your restaurant that you could build on AppyPie or something.
Yeah, it's going to be basically, we're trying to, there's two things. So we're trying to, I got a friend of mine who created their own Bitcoin. Their own coin, and and so we're looking at using that coin at that business, just to be able to have like that kind of like that cool factor, you know, kind of thing. But his coin has a different way of working. It's really it's kind of complicated, to be honest with you. I don't remember all of it, but he has that, and so I want to be able to develop an app that allows people to engage. It's actually not, we're really a craft cocktail lounge, so we're all about high-end drinks. And we cater to brands that are not typically the ones that you see like in restaurants or, you know, like at the store. So we have very high-end stuff. And so we have an idea to try to get people to engage with us through the app, so that Think of it as like an extension of like social media marketing, but instead of just getting pings and dings, you can actually connect with us, so that you can be connected to all of the events that we hold. You know what you know the features are. You can use the app actually to look at the menu and to interact. And also, we're also going to be doing. We're also going to be doing like a funnel campaign, where we're going to have features, reels, and shorts, you know, of our bartender, you know, crafting a drink, and then presenting it to the camera, and then using that as a marketing to get people to come in and try it. And so
we just completed an events app, and then we've done at least a couple apps for restaurants. I mean, unless you're looking for something that's really out of the box. And as long as you need something that isn't as costly as a custom application, I could get you hold of a more like a white label product if that kind of works for you, and you know, would be easy to get it out and launch it as well, unless you want to take
No, I mean, I definitely don't want to, I would imagine, I haven't used it before, but I've looked at it, I've researched it, and it's like, you know, AppyPie to me seems kind of like the Wix of apps, right? It's templated. You just put stuff in. You arrange it. You know, it would be nice for me not to have to spend that time to do all that. So if you do have something that's off the shelf that can be simply modified and you know, and it can be cost effective, then yeah, I mean, I'll definitely look at it.
Yeah,
I'm
I can pick up something for you, and then you know, AppyPie charges you on a monthly basis, unless you're happy you're paying like a monthly fee on a long term basis. This one's going to come at a fixed cost. You could get it, you know, white labeled and you know, customized according to your colors and whatnot, with certain limitations, of course, because it's going to be white label and nothing like a custom product. But and then you could you know, simply launch it without having to do all of that work yourself. But let me you know, good that you mentioned this. Let me dig something up and I'll send something out to you if I have something for you to look at.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that's perfect. Just send it to me with you know, at the same time or whenever you know you can, you know, with the NDA, and then I'll love to take a look at it. Because I do want to create that. We just had a business meeting today. In fact, remember I told you where I had a spam call during my business meeting? That was actually my meeting with my partners for the bar. So that was this afternoon. I had two scam likely calls that came in, and it just kept reinforcing. What's that?
Was that after you uploaded the inquiry on Bark?
No. I'm saying no. That I inquired on Bark just a few hours ago. So that was this earlier this afternoon. I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of sick of, you know, I'm kind of sick of these damn calls that I keep getting. They interrupt me. You know, one of the scenes in our video that we're going to do is going to be actually kind of jabbing RoboKiller, because you know how RoboKiller you can make it, you know, go and make fun of someone, right? So you have, you know, like an automated you know, response, and some guy says, hello, you know, and you're like, yes, you're looking for so-and-so, who? You know, and then you just kind of waste their time, and then they kind of make fun of people, or they say, hey, this is Area 51, or whatever it is that they do.
Are you working on something like that right now? I mean, where do you put that out to?
Yeah, well, what we're going to do in a way that kind of antagonizes them is we're going to have something like Grandma got a new phone. And Grandma's going to call you, you know, and so, but you have some other type of app, we'll, you know, it'll be called like Killer Robo or something, you know, in the video. Yeah. And, it'll be like, you know, you're looking at Grandma getting ready to talk to you. And then, she, you know, on the other line, she hears, hello, you know, and say, hi, honey, you know, it's like, you know, who's this? You know, it's your grandma. And then, you know, he does, you know, then the script shows the robo killer kind of yelling at Grandma. And then Grandma gets super pissed off at the son or whatever. So that's one of the tiny little things that we're going to kind of jab at the different competitors in the field. Because ours would never do that. That one little extra line, you know, that one little extra, you know, oval in the flowchart that I want to add to my idea would make it to where Grandma could still get through even though she has a new number. You see what I'm saying? Or maybe one of the numbers that she just got was on a deregistered number, you know, from an old registration of fraudulent numbers. You know, that's happened before too, right? You get a phone, you get a number, that number that you have is still on some list somewhere, even though it's a DT, whatever they call it in the phone world. And anyway, so it's kind of like that. We're just poking fun, you know, and having fun. So that's one of the things, is that with the concept that I have, again, assuming that it's validated by, you know, our discussion, because if you think, oh, that's not going to work, you know, then I might have to rethink it. But if it does...
Well, no, I just have to look at it before I can, you know, wrap my head around it.
No, I understand. And it's really stupidly easy. And And but it requires input. And so the robo killers, they don't do anything with input. They're just using databases, and they're basically just using existing information and speculating, right?
Yeah.
They speculate. That's why mine says scam likely. It doesn't say it's a scam. It's scam likely, because it's passive. It takes a number. It compares it to a database. It says, oh, this could be. It's one digit off from a known robo. So they're going to assume that it's probably a scam, or it's on a database somewhere else. But it's still speculative, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it is. It could have been the IRS calling. Who knows? Who knows? It could have been anything.
It's speculative. It's just about, how many people report a number, right? And, because that's how the spam numbers get marked. So if someone, once reported a certain number, or say a couple of times, I don't know exactly how this works, but that's when, it kind of says likely a scam, right? Or if it's coming from the same IP address where there are, too many scam numbers already present,
right,
then it's going to mark the new number as likely scam as well.
Right. So, but again, it may not be, at the same time, you could have numbers that, a fresh batch of numbers that haven't been reported that come through. And I mean, it's insane. I get probably,
mm-hmm,
50 a week. Like every, I don't check my voicemail much because I don't really expect people to leave messages, because most of my business is done through online. And so, I'll get my dad every once in a while, but 90% of everything is garbled, spam, robocalls and I'll tell you, when AI really kicks in, oh my God, can you imagine? When AI becomes indistinguishable from reality, which is probably about 2 years away, maybe less, and you can have a discussion on the phone with AI that's fast enough to be able to be indistinguishable. Because right now, when you have a discussion with AI, it's obvious there's a lag, there's a delay. Everyone has a vernacular like they're from Seattle. They all know.
It's getting there. 2 years or less, you're right. I mean, it's going to be at par, and you wouldn't be able to recognize the difference.
So now imagine all the scams that are going to happen.
Absolutely.
Right now. Yeah. Right now the scammers are scamming because they're in India, or they're in Pakistan or Yemen, and they have the ability to have a freedom of fear. No fear, because they're going to be. It's very difficult to prosecute these people. So when AI really starts to kick in,
mm-hmm,
and you have a little old lady, and she gets a call from what really sounds like a very astute, IRS agent or something like that, that's going to be a problem. And
I think the magnitude of it is just going to be exponential. And, a person has to be on a phone at one at a time. There, the AI is going to wreak havoc. And, there's going to be the same AI, the same software could probably call up a few thousand people together and be doing its job.
Or more.
And
or more. I mean, if it's coming from a, and those places where they have pretty good liquidity to be able to fund these types of projects. I mean, it's going to be crazy. So, my app, again, it doesn't matter whether it's AI, whether it's fake, whether it's, it doesn't matter, because it's a verification process. And that's the, and that's the difference. And that way, if the IRS says, hey, we tried to contact you, in the future, they're going to say, you may have tried to contact me, but I don't pick up phone calls I don't recognize. And,
mm-hmm,
and so if you try to contact me, it's not valid. And there's going to be legal precedents where it's no longer, the veil of official business, being, urgent official business being validated through a phone call is going to go away. it's already gone, you know. So
well, I really want to go into the more, finer details about it, but, I think we'll keep it for the next meeting.
Sure.
I'm eager to dive into it.
Yeah, and I'm eager to get your opinion because, like I said, if it's crap, then I'll just walk away. It's not a big deal, you know, it's just a phone call. But you know, maybe there's something to it, and then we'll see. And so I'll look forward to your email.
I have sent you the email already. I mean, if you want to look it up right now and make sure you have it before I let you go.
Yeah, I'll take a quick look here.
Sure.
Yeah, Clive?
Yeah, Clive.
Yep, got it. Yeah, I'll take a look at it when I get back to the house. And yeah, I'll take a look at it and we'll communicate there. So that's your direct email or is that the other guy?
So Clive is the other guy. He must have kept me in the CC of it, but I'll just ask him to do it anyway. So it's going to be coming from my email. That's rick.martin@hoffmanmaser.com. He's going to put me in the CC there, and you'll see it. So we're going to go from there.
Yeah. Right now it's just from Clive, is all I see. And it looks like it's the it's the NDA, and then there's
a company profile.
Profile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you said you were going to send me potentially something for the restaurant. That might be something that we could consider as well.
Yeah, just give me until the next week for that piece of it because I need to dig it up and find you something relevant. But I think I might have something from the past that we may have done as a white label product. And if I find something, I'll make sure to send that over to you by the next week.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great. Well, make sure that you're connected there in the email because right now it's just Clive. And that way I have a way to contact you as well. And that way we can move forward here with the idea development.
Of course, yeah. So, all right. So I'll wait for you to send over the NDA and, we'll coordinate some times for the next meeting via email. We'll go from there.
Very good. Yeah. And what was your name again? I forgot.
You're speaking with Rick.
Rick Martin. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Rick. All right, Rick. Well, I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you, I guess, the next time I talk to you.
All right, Michael. You have a good rest of the night ahead. All right.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.